good morning. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, bring it back. MJ, how are you?
It's me. It's you.
Yeah, it's we.
It's we.
It's just fiancés. It's y'all. Hey, fiancés.
Good morning, fiancés. How are we today?
Ooh, man. It's a scorcher. Wait, let me check. Current temperature 62 degrees, high of 79, and low of 60. Wait, low of 62?
This is the low?
This is the lowest.
Okay, well, here's the thing about what's happening with us right now. Outside is fine. It is the depths of Middle Earth or something in where we are. Is it not?
I cannot wait to tell Lily you referenced Lord of the Rings on the radio. Just
didn't want to say H-E double hockey sticks, you know, so.
Yeah.
Have I done it?
Middle Earth. Yeah. Mines of Moria type stuff going on right here.
Who?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it all went down.
Okay. Well, I hope that Lily understood the reference that I made.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm sure she did.
We all Tolkienites, we thank you. We appreciate it.
You know what? I'm just here for you. That's it. I'm just here for you.
Oh, man.
Good morning.
Morning, y'all.
It has been quite the time in between the last time we were here. I mean,
yeah.
Just 1 week. And
for sure.
Just about 1,000 things happened. Real hard to keep your eye on the ball. I do just want to say there were some extracurricular activities this week and weekend. Shout out to Sneaker Week.
Oh, man. Yo, Sneaker Week was just as it normally is.
As it is.
Popping. A lot going on.
Yeah.
So many options.
Just, it was really great. Got to pop into the closing soiree last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I chatted with a couple of people that I would not have expected to be there, that were very excited to learn about Sneaker Week and know that that's a thing in Portland.
Were they X-ray listeners?
They said they're going to be.
Hmm.
So, hey, ladies.
All right.
I hope you're here.
Clap the hand on the head. Get together. Join us.
Oh, wait, are we already getting... Is somebody already talking smack?
No, someone's... They're not... It's definitely not smack talking.
Oh, whew, boy, okay.
You were not the only ones getting a slow start this morning.
Oof. I was like, wait a minute, man. I read it wrong.
That's solidarity.
That is solidarity. That's solidarity, right. Fiance. Yes. This is a rough one. And I know that I say this often. I went to bed too late. But I did go to bed too late.
You almost didn't go to bed.
I almost didn't go to bed. We'll see what the day brings, you know? I feel like I'm going to be able to handle this particular scandal.
Right.
And then who knows?
I already know.
It might be.
Yeah.
Might not be looking good.
Yeah. You are going to hibernate. You're going down.
Yeah, but I got a couple of things later in the day. So, you know, can't mess it all up.
Yeah.
Those
couple of things are going to be much later.
Nobody needs to hear any of this. Sorry, loves. I just wanted, Sneaker Week was super dope. I didn't get to participate in everything, but we, the Unrefined Sophisticates, did a live podcast at the Media Day.
Yeah.
Live from Jackie's. That was super fun.
Yeah, that rooftop situation is nice.
I mean, I'm not sure how we get to do this, but all the time? Maybe just record there every Friday. That wouldn't work. I mean, it's a happening place.
Yes. A happening, yes.
It's a happening place. It's jumping, if you will.
Yeah.
That is what the kids say.
Yeah.
That place was jumping.
I don't know if that's what the kids say.
You're right.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I don't know why you're always trying to say I'm wrong about stuff.
I'm not.
You know what else happened? Mitch McConnell.
Mm. I feel like we just finished talking about him.
We did, because he had a rough one, right? He had a medical emergency in front of the entire globe.
and his staff didn't care.
And they were like, let's just, how about you come this way, Senator?
Let's take him around back and hit the reset button and bring him back out.
And then that's what they did. And as you know, turtles can live to be 2,500 years old.
Right.
And so we really don't have any idea how old Mitch McConnell is, but we do know that some of the Kentuckians, is that what they're called?
Yep.
Some of the Kentuckians are, they've had it. They've had it up to way over their heads. They have, I mean, don't get me wrong. Somehow he has continued to be present in our
politics,
in our lives for.
Do you think this is the final straw for them? I mean, he's never received a reception quite like this.
They chanted for that man to retire before he could say hello.
And it wasn't like. It wasn't like there was like a contingent, like, retire, and people were still clapping through it.
Right. And like, no, woo, we love you, Mitch. No, retire, Mitch. No.
Anyone that was issuing sentiments of we love you, Mitch, probably felt intimidated and kept quiet or chanted in, because the only thing we heard was retire. And then the second he began to start speaking, they booed him.
Big time.
They're like, we're not here to hear you.
Big and bad.
We're booing the mess. I mean, it was just a thunderous boo.
You know, there are parts of Game of Thrones that I miss a lot. Mm-hmm. One of them is any of the shame moments.
Mm. Bring out the bell.
Not because I am a religious fanatic that wants to shame people down the street. But I do sometimes think that changes some behavior.
It's an appropriate, you know, it's an effective.
It's effective for some of the folks that need it, if you will.
Yeah. He needs a shame.
Bring the bell.
He needs a shame bell.
Yeah. So. I mean, it was very much in the vein of Cersei walking down, getting yelled at. Because, listen, Mitch got to go.
I'm curious. I agree with you. He needs to go. I think a lot of people think he needs to go. I'm curious, what is he waiting on? What do you think he feels like he needs to go? Like, is this one of those, well, my job's just not done yet? Is it, that's the blanket response seniors in leadership use. But, no. Seniors in the SIL?
Mm.
Yeah, okay, all right, we'll work on it. But like,
power. I do think that there is something to, he's laid a lot of groundwork. He has been a very effective Republican politician.
Yeah.
He has laid a lot of groundwork for a lot of mess.
Some would say he's the second most effective. When I say some would say, I mean, majority report, and I agree. Second most
effective. To who? Ronald Reagan?
Yep. It wasn't like Republican politician, period.
I mean,
Mitch is like, I'm batting 1,000, guys.
He gets his job done.
Man, does he.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. I think he doesn't want to lose the footing that he has, you know, spent 105 years, but they call it, I don't know, 30 or something. 40? I don't know how many years he's been.
Right.
This is why I'm supposed to know these things before we start talking about it, but
he came over on the Demeter.
I don't even what.
Remember that trailer you saw for that ship that brings Dracula to the United States?
Oh my! Ambush.
He's our vampiric lord. What do you mean?
And all right, that actually it tracks actually. I'm just absolutely, I'm tired. I am tired. We need term limits. We talked about this last week. I am over it. There is no reason. None. Why have we not, like, rioted over that? That is a worthy riot right there. An absolute never mind. We were wrong. You have to retire. There has to be. There's an age. There is an age limit. And even if you are still sparked and with it and all of those things, why are we still working you so hard? Huh? What kind of society is that?
Our term limits need term limits.
Our term, yo.
Wait, come on.
We have so many things to revamp. Like, I think one of the things that's killing me is that we just have continued to live in this, you know, founding fathers fever dream that just doesn't make any sense for the age, the time, the, you know,
at all.
And we're just still there.
Is this because...
Still, like, power is more important for every, you know, 50 senator.
I think I see what happened.
Talk to me.
There's no huge push to put these limits, term limits, or age limitations. Because look at Mitch now. He's literally grown and aged into the image of a founding father. He looks like the leader.
This is his final. He's the final boss.
Yeah.
Final
form. Yeah.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
It's his final form.
Yeah. Put a powder wig on him and it's a wrap. This is.
I think he's got that.
I think he's got that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when he shows up one day with a powdered wig on? He's just at the podium and he's talking and he just pulls it out. Puts it on,
he's like four score and seven years ago.
He surprises his staff and just goes off the rails.
I hope he talks about the slaves he owns.
Yeah, I would love it.
I just want him to.
Oh, God.
We were one of the biggest cotton producers, you know, something like that.
Oh, I don't know. That might be tobacco.
I'd really like, actually. Yes, Mitch, give us that.
Final four, Mitch. That's what we want.
Before we get too far, we have to throw out there. Today's a special day.
Yeah.
Not just because, you know, we showed up and.
You showed up.
You showed up. But because we have two pairs of tickets to give away.
We do.
The show is this Saturday. Bad, bad, not good.
Hello. Hello, guys. Bad, bad, not good. This Saturday. We got the ticks.
And we're, you know, we've thought about it. We've thought about a little pondering of how we would give these tickets away. And did we decide, Ambush, that what we would do?
Yeah.
Is first or two best answers to a question we're going to ask? Is that right?
Correctamundo.
You're going to text us in with your answers. We are going to choose the winners.
Yep.
So, you know, bribes are taken. Wait, they're not at all. But no, cannot do that. That's called payola.
Yeah.
So we're not doing that. Wow. Let me be very clear.
Wow.
You cannot bribe us. We are unbribable. Better?
Above bribes.
Above reproach.
Above bribes and reproach.
Yeah, you better not accuse me of anything like that. So later we're going to definitely talk about the Montgomery Riverboat Brawl. Mm-hmm. 40 acres and a duel.
40 days, 40 fights. Yes.
Equal rights and lefts.
Sheesh, I think I missed that. Wow. Okay.
So I know that, you know, this has been almost a week full. And when something goes that viral, it's like you're just bombarded with it. So I'm pretty sure most of you have seen or heard a little something about it. Mm-hmm. So before we go too far, for our question... What would you have done? Were you at the riverboat dock in Montgomery, Alabama, mm-hmm. when you see the co-captain of the dinner boat you've been on get jumped?
Yeah.
By a few folks that would not move their boat.
Move the pontoon, brother.
We want to know what would you have done? It will be helpful if you let us know. Let's see. Is it helpful?
What?
Is it helpful if they tell us
their ethnicity? It's very helpful. It's very helpful. And the reason, I mean, if anyone, again, if you're unfamiliar with the story, do a quick Googles. It'll pop up. There is video. Race plays a huge element in this. Yes. So it's helpful to tell us your ethnicity.
Now, this isn't a test. You're not going to get in trouble. Yeah. You may not win tickets if you don't have the best answer. Right.
And there's two
chances. That's a possibility, but there's two chances.
Two sets of tickets, guys.
That you could win with an amazing answer to what you would have done. If you were stuck on a boat for an hour because someone wouldn't move their pontoon that they were told not to leave there. And then when you're the co-captain of the dinner boat you've been on, gets over there, starts moving the boat, and gets jumped.
Yeah.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Okay? We want to know what you would do. And again, best two answers.
Get them tickets.
Get them ticks.
Bad, bad, not good. This Saturday.
Where is that show? I'll figure that part out for you guys and let you know. Nina, please don't yell at me. I know you already told us. I'm going to get better. I promise.
So we got a text.
I thought maybe you were going to just completely ignore it.
Happy birthday, hip hop. Let's take a moment to celebrate the brave accomplishments of the founding MCs. The Rapping Duke, Snow, House of Pain, Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch. Yeah. And the man who started it all, the Iceman, Vanilla Ice. X's and O's, Rude Boy.
Good morning, Rudo.
Rudo, why are you like this? It's too early in the morning. Why do you do these things?
Which is your favorite one that he just shouted out? Mine's definitely Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch.
Of course, because, you guys love Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch.
Well, yeah.
She said, well.
I don't know about love, but.
Listen, he was, what was that? What era was that? That was, what was the clothing line?
Oh, Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein?
Yeah. It was Good Vibrations.
There it is.
In the CKs. Yeah. Yeah, that was real.
Yeah.
That's the show's at the Roseland. So look at me getting everybody answers, huh? Show starts at 8.
There was a Good Vibrations in the CKs. Yeah. For me, from that list, certainly House of Pain. Like, what are we even talking about?
Could not ever get jiggy. Was not a fan.
Cassette in the car as we speak.
The bagpipes. It's forever and always going to be a hard pass.
Musically, it's a little bit too much for
too,
you.
Too harsh.
They not come the sound. Hard sometimes.
Not the sound of my people.
There wasn't. Some of
your people. Actually, I don't even know if that's true. Norwegians might play a bagpipe or two.
I've never known Norwegians to play bagpipes.
Me either. But,
also,
you know.
I haven't had many conversations with Norwegians. But I will say this, and I've said it for years, on the tour of the countries down in Disney World, Norway kills it.
I have to go to bed.
It's so good. So good.
We just said, come on, Morgan, feel it, feel it. I just hope that, you know, you've been inspired now, DJ Ambush, and that, you know,
I'm not
maybe
play
you're.
Good vibrations. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to play some bad, bad, not good for our audience. I'm not gonna
I mean, that's a smarter thing to do, but, like, is it more fun?
You know, look what you've done.
We'll talk about it on the break. Don't worry, okay. You know?
We'll discuss.
Don't worry. Let's get into what we're going to chat about.
Yeah.
In national news, Tory Lanez' entire strategy backfired.
Bruh.
And the leprechaun was sentenced to 10 years in the slammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, the Montgomery Avengers.
Man said, I was when you left.
I was good. It's going to do too many things. Like they formed like Voltron. Just so many different.
I would have won for all of that.
The bat signal was also a part of it.
Yeah. Let's work in Silverhawks, GoBots. Transformers.
Thank goodness for you.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's do it all.
All of those things.
Okay.
They came together.
Yeah. Power of Grayskull.
It's okay. Now you're talking my language. Hey. Don't threaten me with my Saturday morning. Okay? the unity shown.
Yeah.
In that Montgomery Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. And the local news, is Andy No not humiliated enough yet?
Bruh.
Agent of Chaos gets shut down at a civil trial. Ugh.
And
oh, good. And Police Chief Chuck Lavelle tells the Bureau to stop lying. And we don't know if they did.
I mean, it was back in May. So it's like, did you stop lying? Or
I feel like,
is y'all still lying?
I feel like if someone had an engagement with law enforcement today and they communicated their discontent with the response time or the response in general, that an officer today would still say in August, hey man, we've been defunded and it's, you know, we can't do our jobs because of the DA. I feel like it would take more than Chuck's love letter, but we gonna see.
We gonna see. Okay, fiancés. We got one text. Having grown up in the South during what was supposed to be the waning days of Jim Crow, I would be willing to bet that if you asked them, the guys who attacked that man in Alabama would tell you they have, quote, lots of black friends and that their ancestors didn't own slaves.
Yo.
You are ding, ding, ding for, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't see race. I don't see color. That wasn't the point. You were just touching my pontoon. Is it, if you say pontoon boat, is that redundant?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pontoon just doesn't sound to me like a word that you can use, you know, on its own. Yeah. It's like you gotta, it sounds like a slur a little bit.
Oh. I do hear the oon at the end. I feel you. Okay.
Okay, so we got two pairs of tickets to give out.
Yes.
Fiancés, what you are assigned to do is tell us, what would you have done if you were at, what did you call it? 40 days and 40 fights.
Yeah. I like the other name you had for it, though. One of the what,
equal rights and lefts? 40 acres and a duel.
40 acres and
there are
duel.
So many. I just want to take the moment to say shout out to black people for the creativity. Because and
goodness.
The reason, you know, the internet pops for me is literally we don't take anything seriously. Like, just not, it's just an impossible thing to do.
We can't. It would crush our souls.
Like,
really?
They made chair earrings immediately. T-shirts, fast. It's a holiday now.
We have to laugh it off, guys.
Yeah, we do. I mean,
we have to laugh it off. We have to find a humorous way
to deal
through all these moments.
Copium is what they call it.
Copium, yes. We have to. Otherwise, it would be crushing. It would be crushing, seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So y'all tell us what you would do and do slide your ethnicity in there. It's going to matter to your answer.
Yeah, not to your qualification for the tickets. To be clear, guys.
Oh, absolutely not. No. This is not race-based.
No.
We're not race-based means testing you.
No.
Promise.
We're not doing that.
But, you know.
You guys know
it does matter to how you would have handled that situation. And again, this is not a test. You are not in trouble. You cannot get yelled at. But you can win tickets.
You can win tickets. Bad, bad, not good.
This Saturday.
Yeah. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. We're doing a ticket giveaway today. I don't know if you guys heard earlier. You know, played some bad, bad, not good because we're giving away some bad, bad, not good tickets.
Indeed. For a show this Saturday.
Yeah.
At the Roseland.
All right. To be clear, that's the name of the band, guys. Not the tickets are bad, bad. And the tickets are not good.
No.
But the band, bad, bad, not good. At the Roseland this Saturday. Two pairs of tickets. Two pairs. And how do you enter that?
Huh? Well, Ambush, you're going to tell us.
Yeah.
What you would have done if you were at the Dock of the Bay in Montgomery, Alabama. What day was that? I don't even know.
No,
Saturday, right. Sunday? Friday? Unsure. I think it was Friday. No. I don't have any idea.
Right.
Let me stop. Yeah, you're going to let us know what you would have done. Right. And the only reason that we are asking for you to let us know your race, which is, in fact, a social construct. It's not even real. But it is real in the way of how we currently live.
Yeah. It's a fact. It plays a factor.
It's a factor. So yeah. we're wondering, you know, how would you have handled this? And here's the thing. We have some juicy stories to go over. And that's going to be the last one we get to so that we can give you as much time as possible. Mm-hmm. But don't mess around, man.
Yeah.
Start getting them coming in now so that we can read them. And we got a judging to do, you know.
You know how something happens and then, you know, sometimes the reaction is, man, it couldn't have been me. This is a situation now.
Exactly
where
that.
You can delve into the multiverse and it could be you. What would have happened?
Hit the what if button.
You know?
You know? Would you become the Hulk?
Yeah.
Would you, you know, call the police?
Yeah.
Again, you're not going to get, there's no bad answer. Or wrong answer, I guess is what I mean.
No wrong answer. Just the best answers. Get the tickets.
That's it. Get excited.
That's it. That's it.
Well, Ambush.
Yeah.
Can I get us started?
This is one of your favorite people to talk about. Portland's very own.
No, no, no. Pretend journalist and full-time F-boy gets the Dikembe finger at ridiculous civil trial.
Mmm. So delish.
Right-wing media figure Andy Ngo has lost a lawsuit seeking damages from anti-fascist activists for two separate attacks in Portland. After nearly a week of hearings, a Portland jury ruled against Andy Ngo, finding insufficient evidence to hold the defendants responsible for the attacks against him. Ngo, known for his controversial online presence, filed a civil complaint in 2020 accusing activists of assaulting him and attempting to suppress his media coverage. The lawsuit initially targeted six individuals and the Rose City Antifa group, although the latter's involvement was later dismissed due to its non-legal entity status. Ngo sought nearly $900,000 in damages for medical bills, lost income, and emotional distress. Ngo's reporting largely consists of publishing content that has led to his inclusion on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list. Though he claimed to be a victim of a campaign of hate and death threats due to his reporting on violent extremists. During the trial, defense attorneys argued that Ngo's reporting had led to doxing and threats against activists, including those he accused. John Hacker, one of the defendants, admitted his role in a 2019 incident at a gym, but it denied involvement in the latter attack. Richter's attorney characterized Ngo as a provocateur and that manufactures controversy, arguing that Ngo's attackers were never identified and that Ngo had a history of making false accusations against Antifa activists.
Not a history.
I mean, I think it is his resume. Like, I think it is his history. Ngo expressed disappointment in the verdict, saying, quote, "I always knew it would be an uphill battle to win justice for the years of torment and violence I have endured. Goodness. I still believe that these defendants are affiliated with Antifa, and I remain committed to seeking justice. Though I am deeply disappointed in today's verdict, I am considering my legal options."
I need him to remain committed to seeking be quiet.
I want everybody to remember that Andy Ngo did what he called an undercover operation where he dressed as Black Bloc and tried to fit in. And they were like, "Ah, nah, that's Andy."
No.
He had milkshakes thrown at him, which are, in fact, bricks.
Projectiles.
Weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. Biological warfare.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What he got hit with some milkshakes and he was like, "I was murdered. Somebody pay me because I was murdered."
Yo, this text is awesome. Oh, they weren't able to serve that lawsuit directly to Antifa headquarters? Weird.
So weird, right? Can I just tell you that the bots are out, though? So I can't remember. I think it's the Liberty Center or something like that. That was the defense. I'm sorry, not defense. The legal
representation
team funding. I don't know. They were helping him. And the bots are out. So it's like, you know, all of the Adam 0449217 all of those on Elon Musk's X are just like, can't believe Andy, no losses. The Antifas are trying to kill us all. How could you not? How come Antifa's not hit with a RICO case? Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's, I want to believe that's a bot, right? I want to believe that that's not an actual person. I also don't want to believe that's a bot, because a bot is supposed to be at least have more access to information than maybe the person who doesn't understand how to read. Right.
A bot's supposed to be as smart as a computer.
At least.
As a you know? Computer.
So if it, so it's like, either way, this is awful. Even y'all bots is dumb. Like, this is just not...
RICO.
If you aren't... Like, just, it's in the... The name, like, RICO is for organized crime. There is no organization.
Right. It's not even an organization, period.
And what that said was, there is no organization, so there can be no lawsuit. And someone was like, why haven't they been hit with a RICO case?
I mean, but Andy knows this. He knows this.
I mean, yeah.
His lawyer told him this isn't actually.
No, he knew before he did any of this. This is just, this is his job.
Yeah.
Andy's doing what Andy is paid to do, which is play the victim, tell you how terrible the Antifas are. They're so dangerous. They are terrorists. It's in the name. Anti-fascist just means anti-fascist. It does not mean chaos agent.
No.
Can it get wild? Sure. I'll give you that.
When you're fighting fascism, it can get wild.
But it's supposed to.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a moment where this is...
Silent weapons for quiet wars.
Oh. Where'd you get that? Dunkirk?
No. Sons of Man. No. It was Killer Army's second album. I think, first album.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Take it back, man.
You know, Wu-Tang. Yeah. Affiliates.
They are for the children.
Yeah.
I lost my place. I don't know what I was saying.
Yeah.
It's just, I do remember. Mm-hmm. This is his job. He's a right-wing agent, you know? Like, this is what he does. And he serves his purpose as an Asian-American tool of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I know, to all of the people that follow Andy and to the bots that talk well about him. How could an Asian person be a white supremacist? I said he's a tool of white supremacy.
Yeah.
Andy knows he's a tool of white supremacy.
Nice.
There's no question. What you are trying to uphold and maintain and you believe... that your proximity to that whiteness and that power will allow you to hold some of it.
Right.
But baby.
Right.
LOL. Not going to happen. You're never going to get it. Play that next.
In Vogue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get it. It's not going to happen.
Also, you're asking for scraps of humanity.
I mean, when you are, you know, when you have decided that not just assimilation, but like full blown, how can I help you oppress me today?
Right. What ways can I assist your subjugation of my existence?
I would love to lick your boot some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, when you're there, I'm not expecting you to make any sense. None. So here this person is suing people that he literally had no business suing because you don't know who did what.
Right.
You just know there are people around in Portland that you've been at protests, you've seen their faces, you know. Someone has yelled at you.
Right.
There's also this video of Andy being chased through downtown. And
send it.
What it absolutely looks like is he stole something from someone and ran. You know, like in Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
When you grab the flag. I'm not saying that this is what happened. I'm saying this is what that looked like. It's like he's got something in his hand and he's running and he's running. And he gets away. And he runs into the Nines Hotel. And them boys was not playing with him. They were pounding on the door. Mm. Come on out, Andy. And I'm sure that is terrifying. Why am I laughing? Because this is the kind of thing that you brought to yourself.
Yeah.
You did the F-A-F-O.
Yeah.
And you continue to do that. You get paid to do that. So I do not feel sorry for you when you create these situations. They are all manufactured. They are all manufactured. You create these situations. You infiltrate.
Yep.
You get caught because you are not good at it. And then people respond. One thing we know for certain is we cannot control other people's responses to the things that we do. So that's on you, boo. You out here making those decisions. Somebody is paying you enough money for you to get hit in the face multiple times with milkshakes and you okay with it?
Right.
Looking like a plum fool everywhere. Right. Everywhere. The humiliation kink is wild. No, you know, no kink no shaming amen. Here, no but amen. Like, come on.
Yeah, the idea that he would go so far, but that actually there's no lengths that he wouldn't go to get this type of engagement and interaction with Antifa or anyone else on the left, and then you complain about it, or you file a lawsuit, or you have any type of reaction to it, like, I don't believe this is happening to me. This is horrible. This literally could never happen to you if you just be quiet and sit down on your couch. It literally could never happen to you ever again, and your quality of life would change. That's it. But you are diving into places. You are spraying lighter fluid, setting it ablaze and saying, it is, you guys are really making it hot in here.
It's so violent. It's so violent here.
How did we get here?
And this is not to be, you know, to be clear, this is no victim blaming. This is, you are manufacturing this chaos.
Right. There's a difference.
There's a big difference. This is not what was he wearing? You know, although, fam, you did.
What are those?
You did pretend. You tried to infiltrate. Like an absolute. Like, I don't know how anybody takes him seriously, I guess is where I'm going. And I have a hard time knowing that he continues to just get to do this.
Yeah.
And there is plenty of money out there. I mean, he went right into it on the Patreon, you know, like, I'm going to need more help. So you've got everybody trying to pay your bills like you're Donald Trump. Pay your legal bills. And now you want to do some more. You have wasted time. You have wasted resources. You have wasted the complete and total, the justice system, the civil court system, which if, you know, in any other day, Andy's going to tell you just how bad the bureaucracy is and how they won't even prosecute and how civil cases aren't even being tried because blah, blah, blah.
I need him to just start using Bigly. And it's just.
I need him to stop being so present. You know, like, you should not in any way get to have such a big voice. It's wild to me. He just lies. Like, he just straight up lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was doing it even in, there was major disruptions in the court because of his supporters that were in trying to intimidate jurors. And they legitimately just said, Andy was like, the left, the ambiguous left, you know, was in there intimidating people, and how could that happen? And then you've got all these folks just making things up. It's just not real. And there are people that are there, so it's like verifiable things.
Right.
You're not actually, you can't actually get away with that. But this is what mis and disinformation does. Like, you just throw it out there, even if you delete it, even if the screenshots are going, no one's going back and checking that story.
No one.
So all of a sudden, there's, you know, this multitude of people that are like, Andy got hosed because they didn't X, Y, Z, and they intimidated, and the judge said he was Antifa. For real? Think it through.
At least.
You know, and when somebody says that to you, say, where? Show me. Show me. Pics or it didn't happen. Vids or it didn't happen. Like, fam, you cannot, like, just do not take that. Do not. And don't, oh, okay, yeah, no, show me then. Because they can't.
Nothing to show. Absolutely nothing to show.
We got a text that says, fiance, there is a person in this lawsuit, single mother, attacked by Andy and the mega left?
Mm. Yes, it's mega left.
What does this mean? She has experienced much trauma from this. Our community, I personally think, has been eluding her with support. Portland. They fought elite fascism and winner. Check out his PSU history. He's a joke. No journalist. Just a tool idiot.
Verifiable.
I mean,
what does this say about us? What does this say about our community? What does this say about society? Where people who are just blatantly lying get to profit and continue to antagonize us, like what they're saying is any part rooted in reality. What does it mean?
It means the evolution that we pretend has happened in this country, in our society, in our culture is a sham. Because what is different from everything you just said? Mm. We value not telling the truth. We value hiding everything that is ugly or, you know, unseemly to whoever.
Right.
We value poor education because it's so much easier for you to continue to believe the things we have told you if you don't actually know more. We do not in any way value the truth. Collectively, obviously. Not us here and not you there.
I wish I could remember what school district this was. The superintendent that is closing down and removing the libraries and replacing them with like detention areas in the schools. Like they're firing librarians.
I feel like it's Greg Abbott. He's not a superintendent.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, under the authority of another state. But yeah, you did see
I mean,
that,
but like, yeah, that, yeah, no, I did. And that's it. What's funny is you were already not doing anything with those libraries the way you needed to.
Right.
And now, I mean, like, it just kills me that we could even still be having like the charter debate when we know the charter debate is just like, how can I segregate my white children from those others?
Right.
And we're still talking about school choice. Like, so that's what I mean. We're not learning any of these lessons. We do not hold history and any of that in high regard.
No.
There's no reason to learn it because we're not going to move forward from it.
What I think is like a really good example of what you just said is, you know, the people who would be in favor of doing that, of eliminating the libraries, replacing them with detention areas, would argue against the school to prison pipeline.
Argue against it saying it doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are, in fact, an agent of it. And right. They're like,
school to prison pipeline, that's not real.
Never heard of it.
Let's remove the libraries and put in detention rooms. What? You're putting prisons in the schools? Like, what? Like, come on, man.
It's exactly that. It's great. We love it here.
Yeah. You know who doesn't love it somewhere? Where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Lil Lanes.
Would it have anything to do with that Canadian guy?
Man.
Who came over here and did a bunch of felonies.
Ran a mop.
Now facing deportation along with...
I mean, talk about some self-imposed situations here.
He's a saboteur. He's a of himself.
We went from a provocateur to a saboteur.
Indeed, indeed.
Sir, I mean...
Run me the story, Ambush.
Okay. Lil Lanes is going to the big house. Rapper Tory Lanez has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for shooting Megan Thee Stallion in a case that has captured widespread attention. In Los Angeles County Superior Court, Judge David Hereford has handed down a 10-year prison sentence to rapper Tory Lanez for his role in the shooting of Megan Thee Stallion 3 years ago. 3 years ago.
Ain't that wild?
Completely. The sentence comes after an extended hearing that included Lanez's plea for leniency, character reference letters, and testimony from individuals involved in the case. During the hearing, Lane spoke of his care for Megan Thee Stallion and shared their mutual experiences of loss. His lawyer submitted 76 character reference letters from supporters, including prominent figures such as Iggy Azalea and a police chief.
Yes, because Tory Lanez loves the police. Who? Okay.
Someone also submitted testimony in one of those letters that while suffering with his hair loss.
Goodbye.
I'm not lying to you. While suffering with his hair loss, he sought out other men that were suffering hair loss and paid for their treatment. Megan Thee Stallion expressed the ongoing impact of the incident, stating that she has not experienced peace since then. Morgan's face is frozen after the update I gave her about the hair loss situation. And it's true. It's true. It's part of the record. I did not make that up. Megan appreciated the support of Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office and stressed that Lanez had attempted to undermine her through various means, including releasing music videos and spreading false information. The self-sabotage is real. The sentencing marks the culmination of a 3-year-long case that sparked widespread online debate. Lanez was arrested on gun charges shortly after the 2020 shooting incident involving Megan Thee Stallion. The shooting occurred following an argument between the two artists. It's important to note that Megan initially denied being shot, but later revealed the truth to investigators. Lanez was charged in 2020 and subsequently convicted in December of 2022. Yes, it is important to note that Megan initially denied being shot. But you know what happened?
Tory pushed it to the limit.
Like, you shot her.
She tells
the cops, I stepped on some glass, I didn't get shot. Anyone ask, nothing happened, I didn't get shot.
Why is she doing that? Because she knows there is, in fact, a gun in the car. Because she has, in fact, been shot. She doesn't want any of them to be killed by the police.
Right.
So she protects the person who just shot her in order for that person not to die.
And what does that person turn around and do? Interviews.
Full-blown hate campaign.
Diss records. It's like...
Leaking information to blogs that's just lies. Leaking lies, I guess is what I should say. And is that leaking? I don't even know how that works. But just feeding blogs
props
lies.
Propagandas.
Doing the props and gandas. Shout out to DJ Academics, who does nothing but it.
I'm so curious, though. Again, you know, I just want to understand the motivations here. So you know you shot her. She knows you shot her. She is covering for you. And you decide to go on this slandering campaign for what, though? Like, what was the strategy there? If I slander, like... What benefit were you trying to pull out of her covering for you?
He was trying to get public opinion, I think. I think he was trying to get people to... He was discrediting her from the beginning. So even if even if she didn't come out and say it, there's still some questionable stuff. Now we're all, what happened to me? Why is she lying about blah, blah, blah?
He was trying to discredit her. And she wasn't saying anything.
She was literally trying to protect that leprechaun.
Same squad. Wow.
He also went from She wasn't shot.
Yep.
To her best friend shot her. To we tussled with the gun. I tried to get it out of Kelsey's hand because, in fact, I am a hero.
To an alcoholic.
Wait, she wasn't shot. To, well, if she was shot, it's because I drink too much.
Yep.
And
Hey, y'all.
Nah, buddy.
If this is up for debate, his guilt or innocence for anyone out there, y'all can have it. I'm good.
Really, looking at the responses of people, and like, I think that we talked about this before, but just to bring that point home, Tory Lanez was not an artist who was at the level of, I don't know who I would, you know, for any, he did not have these fans.
He's not Chris Brown.
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean, in some ways.
That was a little too good of a comparison. But yeah, he doesn't have that discography. He doesn't have that the time. He hasn't been putting in, you know, all these. He has a couple of mixtapes.
Yeah, he's not.
And he had quarantine radio. So understand that his celebrity even, like, waxed and waned. It wasn't like he was just, you know, Drake. And what he decided to do with that was try and get people on his side. It worked for a lot of folks. And yeah, those folks, they don't care about Tory Lanez. They don't care about his music. They do not think that he is some prolific singer, songwriter, rapper. He's the best. Daystar Peterson is amazing. They think I need to be able to protect my right to hurt women. And very specifically, black women.
There it is.
We should not be getting in trouble for this, guys. Tory did nothing wrong. That's the attitude. Because a black woman, disposable.
Yeah.
Just completely disposable. Completely disposable. And, you know, conspiracies work because you want them to. They really hit with like a teeny tiny little piece of what you think is the truth. And then you go from there. I mean, it has just been a delusional thing to watch. Folks are like, you're not even following the case. There's no DNA. Baby, you're listening to the person who has now already been found out to have been lying about that.
Right.
So which case do you follow? Which one is it? The judge very specifically said a lot of these antics have something to do with this sentence.
Man.
You put yourself here, bud.
Yeah. They said they definitely took in consideration the social media stuff.
Yep.
There was at the Rolling Loud concert when he violated
the restraining order.
Right.
He continuously violated the gag order. He had multiple gag orders from the judge saying, stop talking about this.
Right.
Because he was relentless. He was putting music out.
He said the only thing they didn't take into consideration was the August Alsina.
Which is interesting, so, because...
Well, from what that reporter said, I cannot remember her name.
Megan Kuniff.
She said it would have turned into, because that hasn't been investigated and it hasn't been decided its own established case, it would turn into case within a case.
Yeah, can't do that.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's fair.
They left it where it was.
I mean, honestly, they didn't need to include it.
No.
You know?
As evidence in the sentencing.
But when you are thinking about a person who has been accused of violence like this, and not just violence against women, but also flying off the handle on other guys, and Tory has like got to sit in that as if that's something to be proud of, instead of you have absolutely no idea how to control your emotions, you know? Like, I say this all the time. When men are like, women are too emotional.
Stop. Don't say anything else. Leave it alone. Morgan, don't be up here running the man-hating club.
Oh, that's not what I'm doing. Listen, I want better for y'all.
Whenever
patriarchy got y'all in a chokehold.
Word to Barbie. Whenever whenever men say that, I'm like, it's you, it's you, it's you. It's you. Women are so much more emotional. It's you.
It's you.
It's you.
It's you.
Oh my gosh.
And you know why it's you? Again, patriarchy. But also women actually deal with the emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm way more in tune. Even when I don't know what's wrong with me, I know something's wrong and I can say to my family, I don't know what's going on today, but I'm off.
There's also a societal requirement for you to deal with for women to deal with their emotions, right? Based on the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And because marginalized groups, the most marginalized groups, don't really get second chances.
Bruh.
Like every single move has to be measured. Yeah. Every word. So, yeah, you can be inflamed. You can be incensed. But you cannot operate from that perspective.
Not even close.
You cannot. You got to deep breath it. Think how are you going to emotionally and physically survive that moment of stress?
Bruh.
And then calculate a response. Yeah, like this whole... No. You guys don't have the privilege of operating off of emotion.
That's the thing.
No.
I'm like, where do you see it happen?
No. What do they used to call that? I don't know. There was some word. There was some phrasing for like the female psyche. You know, she's got the brain scramble. Hysteria. Yes, she's just a little hysterical. Get her something to drink.
I mean, I really want men to think about it. There was a time that you were like, you know what we should do with her? Lobotomy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Right.
Whoa. She's so sad. We don't know what she doesn't do the things you want. Lobotomy.
Right. She doesn't happily do the things you want.
Yes, we are the unhinged ones. You know, it's like, okay. Anywho, didn't mean to go that far down that hole.
We went there.
Yeah. Fiancés, I want to remind you, we have a ticket giveaway.
Yes. Bad, not good.
Two pairs of ticks for this Saturday. Bad, not good.
Boom.
Roseland Theater.
Boom.
You have one more story before we get to the biggin'.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, time-wise, I feel like we need to skip one of these, but we're not.
I think we're doing okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But we got a music break.
Yep.
And then we need to hear from you because we're going to have to start picking these winners.
True that.
What would you have done if you were at the Montgomery Riverboat Extravaganza?
Not extravaganza.
I mean, it was extravagant.
It was.
It was remarkable.
Civil rights and lefts.
Someone had to do it.
Breaks over. The takeover. I don't know. I couldn't remember. Look at your face.
Oh, my word. You meant it. Fiancés, I took my headphones off.
Oh, man.
So I didn't know the song ended. And he just started talking. Wow. Communication.
To be clear, I was just quoting Hov.
But it was, you were doing that because it was true.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry.
There are things I needed to turn the fan down.
It just came up on me. It came up on me. The break just came up on me.
That was like, I think, talking to you. I'm like, who reads the next one? Oh, it's me. Wow, ambush.
MJ,
yeah.
don't expose me to our audience.
Okay. Except for
what?
You did just expose me to the audience, so I guess not. But okay, you know, hey.
It's that feminine hysteria.
Oh. Gonna be quite quick here. Gotta get to the good stuff.
The meat and potatoes.
Yeah. Chuck Lavelle issues a stern talking to the rank and file. Portland Police Chief Chuck Lavelle has taken a step to address concerns about the police force's response times and public perception. In an all-office memo, Chief Lavelle addressed a growing issue within the Portland Public, Portland Police Bureau, officers blaming prosecutors for the lack of police action.
Wowzers.
This finger-pointing has drawn public outrage and strained relationships with criminal justice partners, particularly the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. One of these days.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like I haven't lived here for most of my life. The memo calls the behavior, quote, completely unacceptable. Chief Lavelle emphasizes that such blame shifting conveys a message of unresponsiveness to the community's needs.
Mm.
He acknowledged that community members are growing disheartened by officers' excuses. He cites complaints from the public where officers have seemingly brushed off concerns, leaving complainants feeling helpless. Lavelle underscores the importance of officers addressing these concerns more effectively. While he encourages officers to explain legitimate reasons for delay, he emphasizes that blaming prosecutors for such delay is not an acceptable approach. Additional suggestions that even seemingly minor actions like documenting concerns in police reports for future investigations can contribute to a positive view of the PPB, stating that even the smallest efforts can contribute to changing how people view law enforcement altogether. This memo comes amid heightened concerns about crime rates and response times in Portland. By addressing these issues directly and encouraging a more accountable and community-focused approach, PPB aims to improve their relationship with Portlanders. I didn't mean to laugh at that.
Nah. It was a typo. But yeah, that sentiment's pretty laughable.
Okay, so we have talked about this a lot. We've talked about...
Loud in the air?
I think we have talked a lot about what I was about to say.
Okay.
That the police continue to do Operation Slow Down.
Oh, the worst.
And
stuff.
Then... Yeah. And then be like, oh, my hands are tied, bud. Not going to be able to write that ticket. Not going to be able to do anything. Fentanyl overdose. Oh, no, I have it now. Like,
and now I'm shaking.
And now I'm shaking and I had an overdose. And someone Narcan me. We've talked about that a lot because the blame shifting has been very blatant. And hearing the police say, I mean, when we talked about that police survey where so many of them were like, the riots of 2020, just really, how do you get past it? You know, all those BLM people. The police very decidedly said, I'm no longer going to do my job.
Yeah.
Not as if their job was ever the job that we want it to be anyway,
right.
But very specifically said, I'm not going to do it. And then started to blame people on their side.
Right.
All city workers. But no, it's the DA's fault. No, it's the so-and-so. Oh, it's Ted Wheeler. Oh, it's the progressives in charge. Where? Y'all not talking about Mingus. It's absolutely mind-blowing that the police are able to get away with doing and saying what they do.
Right.
So they tell us they've been defunded when they haven't. Their budget is bigger than it's ever been. But they can't do their job because defunded. And they can't do their job because Portland Street Response. And they can't do their job because the DA won't prosecute. And they can't do their job because everything's legal now. Like, imagine that the people that are supposed to know the laws in order to uphold them continue to conflate what decriminalized and legal or illegal means. Them, so that you get confused, so that you're like, so you can just do meth in front of the police? No. But when the police say, I'm not going, this is not something I care about. I'm going to let these people have this open air drug market.
Right. Right.
Because really, somebody should be paying me more money to do any of this anyway.
What are you, a mercenary? Get out of here with this crap. Oh, you're not the 18. Shush. Let's find that. Let's find that point. Let's bring it on back. Boom. We've been defunded. It's not true. When you know it's not true, and you say out of your mouth, we can't do our job because we've been defunded. You just got a whole new fleet of cars. The traffic, moving traffic things, the division's been reinstated. You have two, not count them, not one, two planes. So when...
And some drones.
And some drones. So when that's not true, not even close to true, and you still say it, right? I'm sorry if I keep harping on this point again. I want to understand the motivation. You are, as a police officer, why is that the thing that you all have decided and agreed upon? Hey, just say we've been defunded. Do you think like there won't be any follow up or just no discourse? No one's going to say, no one's going to call you on it. And you know what? I answer my own question.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
They never get called on it. False reports. Fake and fentanyl overdoses.
When you are, your job is getting away with it. Your job is getting away with it. You are the enforcer of the law. So yeah, no, who's going to say something to me? IAB? How many, you know, Law and Order episodes have you watched? They hate each other.
They do. IAB.
The Rat Squad, yeah. Whatever they call them. Like, nah. They do get away with a lot. But in order to be a victim, you've got to show people, one, this is so dangerous, guys.
Yeah.
Word to Andy, no. They're throwing milkshakes.
And do others even milkshakes? Do we even know what's in those? It could be anything in there. Yeah.
Again, bricks. Certainly milkshake bricks that you can get them at Burger Mill.
Milkshake bricks. Yeah.
Like, just most dangerous job, all of that, not real. It is more dangerous to deliver pizzas, so... You know,
for real.
Shout out to your 17-year-old. It's just, it, you know, the police are. Nope, I'll save that. They should be abolished, in my opinion. So, yeah. To hear them have to get reprimanded in a way that, I mean, that's not enough. And also, that was May, and also they're still saying it. So,
definitely,
you know,
still saying it.
Cool story for us to see it now. Also, I do want to note that three different stories I saw. It was like, well, Willamette Week, maybe the Mercury, it was something else. All had pictures of Chuck up there with Joanne Hardesty. And I want to know what that's about. I want to know why you guys are using pictures with Joanne Hardesty, who is no longer a part of city government at all.
And wasn't back in May.
I want to know. What's the point there? You don't have any other pictures of him by himself? Google does.
Right.
But, you know, think that through. Photo editors, why are you choosing that? Would it possibly have anything to do with the inflammatory nature that...
Right.
I just... There's so much more that we need to do better on. And now I'm where it's 8:49. We got to get to... Get to the goods. We did get...
Yeah, we did.
And I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't say anything yet, or should we say them?
I think this is a pretty... I mean, it's a pretty hot one there.
I think we wait.
Okay.
What's this other one?
One of the police sergeant that's been at traffic division for 10 years admitted that it was a political stunt to host a press conference in 2021 just to tell Portlanders that they were not enforcing traffic laws, and he knew it could make things more dangerous. Yikes. Yeah, this is what I mean.
More to the
point. Yeah. This is what I mean when, like, this is all low-hanging fruit. They just do so much right in your face. They
yeah.
Put in your face 24/7.
I mean, one of the many reasons that I do not see the value.
Yeah.
One of the many reasons. But we're going to move on for the moment. And, fiancés, you are going to tell us what you would do in the instance that you were at the Montgomery Brawl whilst... We read this story.
I think we should read this one, let people know what they're up against, because this is a pretty good one.
Okay.
I would have been the guy standing off screen shouting, "World Star." Mid-30s white guy. Love the show.
World Star.
Come on, man.
I'm not. I'm dying.
Oh, goodness.
Are you want this or do you want me to read it?
I'll take it. I'll take it so you can chime in. I'm interested in your ad libs.
Okay.
The Caucasity, Americans in Montgomery, got more than they bargained for when they decided to harass and attack a man at work doing his job.
You know.
See, so I don't want everything. You've all seen the boat brawl by now. It went down. But a lot of assumptions were made, and the sweet deets are coming out. Montgomery Police Chief Daryl Albert at a press conference Tuesday revealed that the boat's captain had been trying to contact the private boat owners for up to 45 minutes over the PA system, but was met with obscene gestures and curse words. Wowzers. Pickett, the co-captain of the Harriet II, was then driven to the shore on a smaller vessel by Aaron to move the boat out of the docking space. Once there, the presumed owner of the pontoon and his friend decided it made more sense to argue than to move their boat. Things escalated quickly, and one of the white men punched Pickett. When more white men jumped in and started pummeling Pickett for doing his job, black folks assembled like the Avengers and said, "Not today.
Not today, you won't."
The chief said MPD resulted with the...
Consulted.
It resulted. The chief said MPD consulted with the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office, and the FBI, but said there was not enough evidence to pursue the matter as a hate crime. Interesting. The incident also did not meet the criteria for a charge of inciting a riot, he said.
Okay, so you said interesting to the not enough evidence to pursue the matter as a hate crime. And I want to go back to an earlier text that we got where someone said, I grew up in the South at the end of Jim Crow.
Right.
These people would absolutely tell you they have black friends and they didn't, their family didn't own slaves. So, you know, what's the big deal, bud?
Right, right.
That's exactly it. That's, I think, one of the ways that we get here to be in 2023, where a group of white men think that they can just beat a black man in broad daylight and face no consequences. Because America has told them they can. America is founded on doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
America has continued to rain terror and racial violence against black people since the beginning. And have just found other ways to do it. And so in that moment, I am certain that a lot of people see exactly that. Some men that would say, I have a bunch of black friends, or I know a bunch of black people. They might be employees, but they're certainly not slaves. Right. You know, something right. to that effect. But you also can't forget the history of Montgomery. And that being a central point in history of slavery, of segregation, of lynchings. Mm. Like the violence that gets perpetuated to keep racial and social order mm-hmm. is immense. Mm-hmm. And you don't forget it. Like these are stories that are going to get passed in your family when you are a person that, you know, your family has received that violence. But also best believe there were thousands of people showing up, hundreds and thousands of people at lynchings celebrating, barbecuing, picnics, dressed in their Sunday's best.
Yep.
And that was to do what? That's absolutely to keep social order. It is absolutely, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I got a lot of things to say about the kind of person who goes to something like that, the kind of person who takes their children to that, and then will later tell you, protect the kids.
Yeah,
got no problem showing them, you know, somebody burn alive. But right. boy, oh boy.
Right. This wasn't centuries ago.
Better not have a drag queen hour.
Right.
I mean, I really, really, really wish that more of us understood the history of this country and the history of the people who... believe in white supremacy.
When you brought that up yesterday, the lynchings and you know, how it was a social event.
Yeah.
Often after church.
Yeah.
I really started to think about, like, this again, this, there's photographs of this. This is, you know, this isn't like centuries ago. You really have to, there's some work that needs to be done. White people, white folks, fam. There's some work that needs to be done when you start to think about something like a social event around someone being killed,
murdered,
like, this isn't like you're watching it on TV.
Viciously.
Yeah, you're there in person to view it. You're participating. You're taking keepsakes. Like,
I mean, and don't stop that, because that's absolutely true.
Right.
Keepsakes. We're not talking belt buckles.
No.
We're talking body parts.
Right.
Because as much as we, and I'm sorry to have cut you off, but as much as, you know, and also sorry for the graphic conversation, right? Well, it's about to get worse, is what I'm saying.
Here we are with that CRT.
When we think of what a lynching is, you think of a person hanging, right? And people were also burned alive. People were, I don't even like saying this, and for some, like, it just, it really hit, like, drawn and quartered.
Yeah.
Head severed. Beaten to death by white people. Who are absolutely emboldened by racist politicians.
Yeah.
And a system of racial hierarchy. That, I mean, that is it. And these are not isolated incidents. Like, lone wolves, bad apples, all that stuff.
No.
There were...
It's called a societal norm.
Yes. In Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama, between 1877 and 1950, and I know you're going, whoa, 1877.
Yeah.
But when was slavery supposed to be abolished, right? Right. So 1877 to 1950, there were 359 recorded lynchings in Montgomery, Alabama.
Recorded.
Those are not isolated incidents. That is a social norm. That is totally acceptable. That is the police are there. That is the chief is lighting the fire.
Right.
So I really want you to think about, like, what would have happened if there weren't black people here to step in with that black man?
Right.
Because as well-meaning and as much as we, you know, want to believe the things that we would do would change a situation, where were the white people to do something?
Right. We got a text that said virtually every white person who has participated in lynchings over the years was in church the following Sunday.
Hello.
Bible thumping.
Period.
Yeah.
Telling you about how gracious the God is.
So where I was going with that was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did.
No, because I needed the data was important. Like, people needed to understand the depth of what we're talking about. Because what does that do to you? That type of activity was part of white culture.
Right.
What does that do to you? What does that do to white culture? What does that mean? Memories, conversations, family reunions. Remember when? Oh, do we still have a photograph from? What's in that box that's in the attic that no one goes into? Like, understand how this stuff trickles down to today. And we aren't given the privilege to say, oh, that was such a long time ago. Who even? The world's such a different place now.
Right. But why is the world a different place? Because you said so. Not because it's actually different. Not because there aren't still terrible violence being committed on black people today. Right now.
Because you said so. Just the privilege in that. The privilege to be able to shape reality with your words.
Yo.
Reshape it.
I was, unfortunately, listening to Charlie Kirk yesterday. And he said, you know, his whole crusade is don't talk about race and we won't have any racial problems. Just let it go. And as much as we understand how trauma can live and in your body and change your DNA and be passed down in your DNA, you think the trauma of being a violent, barbaric oppressor doesn't follow you too?
Right.
So for as much as y'all be hitting with my family, I didn't know, all that, please.
Right.
Please.
Right.
Because there's also a humongous level of privilege in you not even knowing.
Oh, man.
You not doing anything to find out. Mm. You're just like, oh, I don't have money, so.
Devoid of consequence. There's no price to pay for not knowing.
I really wish that we didn't do the Chuck story or the Tory story or something, so we could have spent more time on this. Mm. Because now we are up against the wire, and we didn't finish our giveaway. So, I do want to say, World Star, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously, you in there, like yeah. swimwear. Yeah. So what we need from you, 30-ish white guy, right?
Yeah.
World Star, fantastic answer. Send us your email address.
Yes.
Send us your name. Just text it. We won't read it on air.
Nah, we just need to
And we'll pass it on to Anina, and Nina will get in touch, or, you know, maybe someone else.
Yeah.
And then we need to... We need to pick another one.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, yeah. We need another response. So we got one.
I don't know. I like this last one, where virtually every white person who has participated in lynchings over the years was in church the following Sunday. This is not an answer to the question.
But it's...
But it is a solid response in what we're talking about.
You're daggone right.
And if you're interested, fiance, you know... Send us your name and your email.
Boom.
We will not read it on air.
No, but you'll get those tickets.
But you will get those ticks.
Yeah.
To Bad, Bad, Not Good.
This Saturday.
Roseland Theater.
Boom.
Doors at 8.
Boom.
I think. Oh, you're going to have to look at that.
I'm not in ticketing anywhere.
I'm not in ticketing anymore. I don't actually have any idea what time the doors open over there.
Yo, it was hot in the hot tub this morning.
It was. I wish we would have spent more time on that, because I really want to. I really want to run the point home. It is not enough.
Yeah.
For y'all to be like, I'm not racist. I don't see color. Everybody is a human, or something like that.
Or something like that. We can always part to it, man.
True.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you got to. We got to move from being not just apathetic. Because I'm not saying that everybody doesn't care.
But nobody cares enough. Yeah.
To make it happen. And listen, no racist white people are about to listen to black people. They are going to have to get this call in from y'all.
Yeah.
So our Caucasian fiancés, we need to know. What are you doing out there to call your folks in and make something... Make something happen, even if that something happening is them being mad at you.
Yeah.
Like, disrupt. It's just not... World Star here. thank you. Thank you, World Star. We got you.
Yep.
Yeah, we just have to... There's more to be done. And yeah, we can part to it. I'll be quiet now. Thank you, Ambush. Call.
This was News from My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, and our podcast editor, Kyle G. I want to thank everyone for participating in the text conversation this morning. Shout out to the ticket winner. I think we got another response in there. Maybe I made that part of it. But remember, do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thanks for listening.
Bye.